Good morning and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning.
We're just starting to feel the after effects of this Supreme Court decision, aren't we?
We are, and the way in which they're layered over some of the decisions that we've seen over the last couple of years is what a lot of people find troubling. We're going to talk a little bit about the decision this morning, and let's get going with that first conversation now. At the heart of the Hobby Lobby decision was the question of what counts more, a company's closely held religious belief or its legal responsibility to provide contraception. This week, the Supreme Court's 5-4 decision sided in favor of the company's right to choose. The decision has spawned more questions about corporate personhood and the potential for discrimination. UH Law Professor Andrea Freeman joins us now to look at some of the implications. Thanks for coming in.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Now, a lot of people are very concerned that this is going to change the game in a way that, you know, maybe this is the tipping point where religion becomes the driver, not necessarily legal responsibility for a great many things. And, you know, Ginsburg, you know, was blasting those in the majority. And of course, you know, they blasted right back saying that, she was being wildly speculative. But her point that they can, quote, opt out of any law saving tax laws they judge incompatible with their sincerely held religious beliefs seems to be where we're now stuck. How do you view this decision?
I think it is a frightening decision that does open up the door for corporations to be perceived as people that can establish a religion in this country, which is against the First Amendment principle that the government is not supposed to favor one religion over another. Here we saw a favoring of Christian values, but if this had been a Muslim company that was attempting to practice their religion, I think we might have seen a different decision.
As you look at it in the context of what may happen with future decisions and other things that are still brewing, part of the concern is now this may be a way for businesses to pick and choose, not necessarily because they really truly hold these close religious values, but that they may be able to use that to simply make choices and discriminate how they do business.
Absolutely. You may have heard that the retirement funds of Hobby Lobby and some of these companies actually donate money to the exact products that they are objecting to here. So there is a question among the public, not in the court, but in the public, as to whether this was a sincerely held religious belief. But the court decided not to question that. And that's another dangerous precedent. Because as you're saying, anything, a corporation could just say, we believe this, and if the court is not going to question that, then we may see more discrimination against lesbian and gay couples, the denial of hormone medication for transgendered people, and a whole range of possible discrimination that's opened up by the decision.
Looking at how the decision itself was made and looking at who said what, some of it was predictable, perhaps, but looking at those swing judges, are we really having to look at the Supreme Court a little bit differently?
I think there was a hope or an idea that this was a narrow decision and that perhaps we saw some of the justices going with it because of that. But I do think that we are seeing a very definite conservative voice emerging on the court that may bode not too well for future decisions that people are really hanging on, for example, you know, DOMA, gay marriage, if that's going to be.
Again, taken up.
Yeah.
What's your biggest fear as you look into this decision and look at it going into the future and other potential cases that are brewing?
My biggest fear is around discrimination against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender individuals, because I think that we may see the court has given a little bit on marriage, the ideas of marriage and DOMA, but they haven't given where it's really important, right? We have Shelby County. We have, you know, disregard for racial discrimination in the country. And I think that where it counts, the court's going to uphold discrimination, whereas they've given a kind of small bone to people.
Well, DOMA seems like it was a rather big bone for a lot of people, that it wasn't just as insubstantial as I think you may be suggesting.
I'm not saying that it's insubstantial, but the entire gay marriage issue is often seen as a cover, as something that is a privilege for many people, but doesn't get at really serious suffering by, you know, LGBT individuals in prisons, in the workplace, in homes, violence, abuse, that those are the real issues facing people, and that, you know, the marriage and benefits is kind of more of a privilege issue that's not as hard to give up.
So that some of the more practical and daily aspects of life, that's what I'm hearing you say, mm-hmm. is where you see this being far more problematic than necessarily the coverall of saying, well, yes, this is something that we think is all right, but when it comes down to very narrow, very specific things, you find that that's going to be much more problematic for us as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. If you're like us and you want to get married, you know, you're like the straight people and we just want to get married and hold, you want to keep our values, that's okay, right? But then when it comes to issues of violence, abuse, housing discrimination, employment discrimination, we're still going to uphold that in the name of religious belief.
In terms of the actual case itself and some of the conversation that swirling around the country about the parts that the Hobby Lobby group really found objectionable was the issue of abortifacients. But your position has been on this, that the science is a bit skewed the other way, and it was a case of who wanted to listen to what science, and whether these things actually abortifacients or not.
Right. I mean, there is no science saying that they are. That's just a belief. So if a corporation can have a belief that goes against the FDA and goes against the proven science and have the court back it up, that's frightening.
Because they didn't object to everything, but they were objecting to some
They selected
specific.
The four methods. Right. But the FDA has stated, backed by scientific and medical research, that in fact eggs are not fertilized at that point and that they're simply wrong.
Which brings us back to the beginning of the conversation, where you have belief against belief and not necessarily fact against fact. Is this a fundamental change for the way we are going to look at our court system and also how we regard our government?
It's early to say what will happen after this, but it's certainly a danger.
All right. Well, you're going to be watching it. We'll talk to you more. We've got to go for the moment.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Andrea Freeman is a constitutional law professor at the William S. Richardson School of Law. She also teaches federal courts and race and law. She researches and writes in the areas of structural inequality and food policy, as well as consumer credit card debt.